by considering the form of knowledge and wisdom and instruction that it is. It presents these things in a particular form, a particular method is used. And as we talked about, the book of Proverbs will have a powerful influence in our lives if we let it. Its teaching often describes very particular situations in life, and even if we don't have a situation that corresponds exactly with a proverb, if we meditate on the Proverbs and we see the values that come to the surface, not just do this when this happens, but the values in the heart of God that comes to the surface, it will change our mindset and help us to live this way. Of course, we know that the book of Proverbs says much about knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and we can learn in Proverbs how these things are defined and applied to life. And as we read and ponder and absorb what God has for us, we will understand the meaning and the application of Proverbs. As we obediently apply and live by them, they will change our thinking and they'll change the trajectory of our life. It's amazing how our life can be different because we followed the Word of God. You hear about all the ungodly things that happen late at night in the bar district of a town, and people getting injured and crimes of all kinds, and you don't have to worry about any of those things if you follow what the Word of God says about alcohol and drinking it as a beverage. You'll just stay away from those places entirely, and that is just one very small example of how if we'll just obey what the Word of God has for us, we'll avoid so much sorrow and trouble in our lives. The more that we understand and believe what God wrote in the Scriptures for us, the more our value system will be changed to match His. And that is a really important part of the Christian life. Our value system needs to change. What we think is valuable is often not what God thinks is valuable. And the more that we value what He values, the more we will have joy and peace because we see God working and we say, that's what I want anyway. That's what's best, and I believe that, and I'm excited at what God's doing. But often, it's easy for us to say, well, God's not giving me what I want. Why doesn't God give me what I think I need? What's God's problem? He doesn't see what I need, and we're distressed. And if our value system is changed to match His, our entire life will come into greater harmony with Almighty God and what God's doing, and not just desiring to do, but what He is doing. And this is the power of Proverbs. It changes our thinking. And Philippians 4:8 talks about our thinking needing to be right, to think on honest and true and just and pure and lovely things, things that are of good report. And the book of Proverbs tells us what these things are. We ought to make the Proverbs a frequent place of reading, a frequent book that we read. It will correct and shape our thinking and our lives. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And so if our thinking is changed to match God's thinking, we know that our life is being changed to match what God wants for us. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to finish looking at the opening seven verses of the book of Proverbs. We introduced it last week, and we're going to finish with verse 7. But let's read the passage again, and we'll remind ourselves of a couple of things early in the passage, and then finish it up tonight. Proverbs 1, verse 1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And we talked about how these are the statement verses Solomon is giving his desire, his objective in this book. And writing these down, this is on his heart. And we know it's on the heart of God as well, because he inspired Solomon. The Holy Spirit inspired Solomon to write these words. We talked about Solomon being God's instrument and how God demonstrates his mercy in choosing a man to be his instrument, to be perhaps his pen in this case, to write down the words. We understand what an instrument is, a musical instrument, for instance. It can sit there on the shelf. It doesn't make a sound until a musician picks it up and plays it. And we say, wow, that it might be a very high quality instrument. It might be in great shape, but it doesn't get any credit for the music, because you can have a non-musician pick up that instrument and it doesn't sound like music. It's the musician, the player, that gets the glory, and so it is with God. We might be having a life, living a life that is godly, but we don't get any glory. We might be in a place where God can use us more effectively. We don't get the credit for that. We don't get the glory for that, because without God, we are nothing. And without God, Solomon would have been nothing. But we know that God gave him wisdom. He gave him this wisdom. This is God's wisdom that Solomon had on loan from the Lord. And so we admire the wisdom of Solomon and all that God did through him, but we do not glorify Solomon. We glorify God, because Solomon was just loaning and borrowing the wisdom from the Lord. God said in 1 Kings 3:12 that he said to Solomon, "I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." Solomon's great wisdom stands alone in human history, but of course, it was God's wisdom. And so we can also receive God's wisdom in order to serve him more effectively. Solomon was God's instrument. We talked about God's intention in this book of Proverbs and how it's reflected and signaled in these opening verses 2 and 3, to know wisdom, to perceive the words, to receive the instruction. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain to understand a proverb and the interpretation. We talked about words last week like perceive and receive, understanding, wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. They all have their own definitions, and they lay out a meaning for us to grasp and receive if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. We see God's intention with the book of Proverbs is reflected in Solomon's writings. God inspired Solomon to do that. And so when we see Solomon's writings, we know it was God's intention as well. Solomon wrote it for his son, and the Heavenly Father has written this for his sons and daughters as well. And so we can learn by his grace what he intends for us to learn. We saw that he intends for us to see, to perceive the words of understanding, to know wisdom and instruction. God doesn't want us to just live out our days groping around for the light of God's knowledge. He wants our steps and our path to be well lit. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We can walk confidently because of God's word. That's God's intention for us. He wants us to see. Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." It's a blessing that you and I don't have to live in darkness. Some men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But if we are willing to repent and say and agree with God that deeds are evil and they ought not to be kept in darkness, if we're willing to come to the light, we can walk confidently through life because of the lamp that is the commandment, the light that is God's law. God intends not only for us to see, he intends for us to receive. Some people see, but they do not want to receive. They do not want to be instructed. They do not want to change. They do not want to submit and surrender to God's word. God wants us to see and receive. Proverbs 1:3 says, "To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity." When you have guests over to your house to eat a meal. You receive them into your house. You welcome them. You might physically embrace them. At least you are figuratively embracing them. You are welcoming them in. And we receive things like that into our heart. We know the saying, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. It means he has not received what you're trying to say to him. And so he might agree with you intellectually. He might be convinced intellectually, but he doesn't want to be convinced. He's not actually receiving that. And so nothing changes. And God wants us to receive his word. Children who grow up in church may perceive the teaching of wisdom, but if they harden their hearts, they will not receive it. How tragic it is to be so close to receiving and experiencing the wonderful words of life, but not to partake of them. I'm reminded of the Lord that was close to the king of Samaria. You remember that back in Elisha's day, and the city of Samaria was under siege, and they were starving to death, and they were eating animal manure because there was no food left. And Elisha said, this time tomorrow, fine flour is going to be selling for pennies, in essence. And the Lord that upon whom the king of Samaria leaned, the Bible says, he said, he was scoffing. He said, if God opened the windows of heaven, might this thing be? You're crazy, Elisha. And Elisha said, you'll see it, but you will not eat of it. And that's what happened. The man was opening the gates. The Assyrian army was scared off, and they left all the provisions of the camp that they were using to besiege the city, and they were gone. And they realized, and this man was opening the gates, and he was trampled from the stampede of people going out to find food because they were starving. So he saw God's provision, and he did not partake of it. And how tragic it is for people to grow up in church and see it before their very eyes and not partake of it. We should not just see, we need to receive. Not only have eyes to see and ears to hear, but a heart to receive. God intends for us to apply what we see and receive. James 1:23 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He saw it in the mirror and he believed what he saw. He didn't dispute it. He just didn't do anything about it, and so he forgot all about it. We need to not only see and receive, but apply and do. Again, Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. If we do not apply, we will not grow. We know that children do not tend to hear and increase learning. This says a wise man, and someone who is mature, someone who thinks in a mature way. Children don't think this way. They need to be helped. They are determined to do what they want. They need to be corrected and persuaded to receive instruction, and that's part of child rearing. But adults can be this way too. We also can be foolish, but a wise man will hear and will increase learning. Of course, we know it's not just children who can be foolish and resistant to correction. And Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you'll turn over there, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. A very sad description that Paul gives. 2 Timothy 2:24, he says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I think that's a very sad description, opposing yourself. How foolish is that? And yet this is what so many people do without the Lord. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A wise man won't need to be specially persuaded to listen to true wisdom. He won't need to be coerced or cajoled into just listening to some wisdom. He is a wise man, and so he'll do it by choice. Of course, we know a wise man is representative of men and women. A wise human being is what we're talking about here. A wise man will choose to hear, to be aware and vigilant and sensitive, to glean instruction and correction from his surroundings. He is self-motivated in this. He's hungry for wisdom. And he's humble, because if you're so sure that you're right, you're not looking for wisdom. You've already attained it. You thought it, that means you're right, and you can't be instructed. That's not what a wise man does. That's what a proud man does. A wise man says, you know what, maybe I am convinced I'm doing it right, but I do know that I can be wrong. And so I'm always going to be ready to receive if God is correcting me. I may be convinced that this is the right way. I may have biblical reason, but if I might misapply it. So I always need to be ready to be corrected. I always need to be ready and willing for God to change my direction. That's what a wise man. He'll hear and he will increase learning. He doesn't need to be specially persuaded to listen. Children do, though. Children need to be persuaded and reminded to apply what they have learned. We just talked about this. Why aren't you doing this? You just said you understood it, and now you're not doing it. A wise man and woman or woman will continuously incorporate what they are learning with what they have learned. They are self-disciplined in this. And yet so often we cast off wisdom and we take up foolishness. For instance, why do we struggle in life to stay close to the Lord and trust him? I don't mean why do we struggle in life to go to church when the doors are open. I think most, if not all of us, don't struggle. Oh, it's a Sunday night. Should I go to church tonight or not? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about trusting the Lord when things catch us by surprise. Being joyful when we're in the middle of a trial. These things are more difficult. And yet so often we struggle. We think things like, doesn't God care? I thought God loved me. Why doesn't God fix this for me? You know, I've got a really good idea on this, and God isn't doing anything about it. What is the point? Why, God? Don't you notice? Why doesn't... And we can ask these questions and think these things. We struggle to stay close to the Lord at times and trust him implicitly. Our level of fretting and anger and fear and stress are all indicators that we aren't trusting in the Lord completely at the moment. Because otherwise we'd be joyful, because the Lord gives that peace. When our eyes are focused on him, we are at peace, but we give in to the desires of the flesh, even though we already know that the flesh is not our friend. No matter our age, we easily and often act quite a bit like children. I'm thankful that God is so patient with us. We need to grow up in him, as Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 talks about. God wants us to apply what we learn, and that is why we need to continually be in the Word of God, to be under its influence, to be constantly reminded, thank you, Lord, I already knew that, but I needed to read it again today. I needed to hear that. We so often stray so easily, just like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're just like that. And we need to stay close to the Word of God. Children need to be taught to attain unto wise counsels. A man of understanding shall do this. That's what the Bible says, Proverbs 1:5. He shall attain unto wise counsels. That's how he demonstrates, one way that he demonstrates his understanding. He gravitates and clings to wise counsels. This means to choose good friends and to surround ourselves with wise and godly influences. A wise man will distrust his own flesh and impulses and will seek out and pursue wise counsel and counselors and wise guidance and wise guides. I don't trust myself. I don't trust my own idea. I'm going to go find somebody who's done this before. I'm going to go find somebody who's done it longer. I'm going to go to the Word of God. That's the ultimate source of wise counsels. A man of understanding shall attain unto them. He'll seek them out. He'll gravitate to them. A wise man remembers the truth that we find in Romans 7:24, which says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We keep that in mind. We remember, you know what? Yesterday may have been great. I still can't coast today. I still can't put it on autopilot because I have this kind of flesh. I've failed enough to remember that. And that's when we start to demonstrate understanding. I need all the help I can get. And so I'm going to take advantage of it and ask God for it. It's important for us to see and perceive wisdom and instruction, to notice it, to recognize it. But we should not stay there. We need to receive it. Once we receive it, we must be diligent to apply it. Otherwise, if we know it, if we recognize it, and we've received it, and we understand exactly what it is, but we choose not to apply it, we are hardening our own hearts. You think about Pharaoh, a wicked man, but he shows us this progression. He saw what God was doing. He heard the words of Moses. He knew it was God at work. And he said, yes, I'll do it. And then he changed his mind over and over. I'll let the people go. Never mind. I changed my mind. And he hardened his heart over and over. When you say no to God, it makes it that much easier to say no to God again and then again and then again. And we're hardening our hearts. How do we reverse that? Repentance. Repentance. Condemning ourselves along with God, condemning our sin, and coming back to the Lord again. That is what softens our heart. But if we harden our hearts, we'll end up losing what we received. God intends for us not just to see it and receive it and apply it. He intends for us to grow. Look at Proverbs 1 again. And we'll look at verse 6. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 6. Verse 5 tells us what a wise and understanding man will do. Verse 6 tells us how he'll grow to understand a proverb and the interpretation. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. It shows wisdom for us to say, I'm going to be listening. I'm going to pay attention when God is speaking. I'm going to pay attention when somebody who is walking closely with God is teaching. I'm going to listen because I need it. And then we learn and we grow. It takes some understanding to say, I'm going to go seek out wise counsels. But we know that we've grown when we can understand the proverb ourselves and the interpretation. And of course, it's not our ability, it's God's ability, but we grow into that. We become more like the Lord, and we become the ones who are then able to teach. If you can understand the proverb because you've studied it and sought the Lord, maybe you can help somebody else who is still growing into that. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. This is God's intention for us in the book of Proverbs. He wants us to grow to the point of being able to digest what the Bible talks about as strong meat. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the writer says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You ought to be a teacher of the word of God and the dark sayings, the proverbs, and yet you're needing to go back to kindergarten, as it were, and receive the very basic things of the word of God. You are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We don't give steaks to babies. We give milk to babies. And adults would need something more than milk. We need a stronger diet than that. And I'm thankful for the milk of the word, the milk of the truth that is so basic. We do need to be reminded of that. But we ought to be able to handle more than just that. It says, ye ought to be teachers, but you have need to be taught again. And God wants us to grow. Are you able, are you equipped to be able to teach others these things? If you've been saved very long,
you ought to be. And if you're not, maybe you haven't been growing or receiving or applying, perhaps, the way that God would have for you. To be this way, where somebody, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So much application that's being talked about there. If you live that way, it's a victorious way of living. It doesn't mean you're sinless. You do sin, but not like you used to. You're not enslaved like you used to be. You're not wrapped up in these destructive habits like you used to be. You're not caught so much by confusion like you used to be. You're not blind to truth like you used to be. You're growing. You're victorious. And we'll never arrive in this life. We know this to be true. But we ought to see growth. God wants us to grow in his truth so that we can live for him faithfully and steadily, on and on, onward and upward. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We see this described in verse 14. 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Earlier tonight I asked, it's been 3 days since we were together. How did those 3 days go for you? Did you live them in a way that would please the Lord? Let's be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or wrench, twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. The epistle to the Galatians was given because people who were saved were being led astray by false doctrine. We don't have to be led astray. We can grow. We can be victorious. We can understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. God intends all of these things. He intends for us not just to recognize and hear and receive and apply and grow. He intends for us to impart. Proverbs 1:4 says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And it's interesting to notice the different verbs here in these opening verses. To know, to receive. A wise man will hear and increase. These are very passive in the sense of the action is upon the recipient. I'm absorbing, I'm receiving, I'm taking in. And now in verse 4 it says to give subtlety to the simple. No doubt Solomon wanted to give subtlety to his simple son. I don't know how old Rehoboam was at this time, but apparently he needed this. And Solomon over and over says, don't be like the foolish man. Don't be like the simple youth. But you can grow to the point where you can give subtlety. And we use subtlety. We know that Genesis chapter 3 says the serpent was subtle. We're not talking about that kind of subtlety. We're talking about discernment. We're talking about, being able to not be gullible, for instance. You see the deception that's out there in the world and you can avoid it. You look ahead, you see the snare, and you go around it. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. We use the word naive, and I think that that is a close relative in meaning to the simple. You don't question. You don't look below, beneath the surface. You're not aware of what could go wrong or how the devil might use it or how the flesh might respond. You just go on and you suffer the consequences. We don't have to be simple that way. We don't have to be naive and deceived. We can have subtlety. And this is what the book of Proverbs is intended to do, to give subtlety. And as we grow, we can teach others. And we ought to. I appreciate those of you that do that intentionally. Sunday school teachers are that kind of person. You can be occupied in doing that. We talk at junior camp about taking opportunities to have teaching moments. And usually we're focused on the gospel, but it can include this as well. You know, child, I saw that you were going off and doing that. Let me tell you what'll happen if you pursue that. I'm going to give you some subtlety, some wisdom, some ability to think not critically in a negative sense, but to think with discerning, with discernment, to give subtlety to the simple. God wants us to impart. Solomon asked God for wisdom for himself. God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "I don't know what I'm doing. I need to be a wise king, and I can't be that. Give me wisdom." And God did. But God gave him the wisdom also for him to pass it on. And that's what this book of Proverbs is all about. Let's not just be receptacles. Let's be dispensers of the wisdom and the help that God gives us. God intended much more than just Solomon being wise. Solomon made good choices, and he taught that wisdom to the people in his day. It's thought that he began basically a university over time of wisdom to teach the people of Israel. And what a good use of God's wisdom that is. He taught that wisdom. It was recorded for the later generations. And God's still using this wisdom because it's God's wisdom. Solomon was the instrument. I want us to look at verse 7 as we finish here and see God's invitation. God's instrument was Solomon. God's intention was for people to receive and recognize and apply and impart. But God gives us an invitation. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." We ought to be able to admire what God gave to Solomon. It was a gift from God, and it was a benefit it brought benefit to him as long as he obeyed it. And God gave Solomon a great invitation. He said, "Ask what I shall give thee." I'm inviting you. Make a request. And Solomon asked for wisdom. God gives us a similar invitation. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." God takes care of all of our questions. If you lack wisdom, and he even puts an "if" in there, as though some of us may not. How kind of the Lord to compliment us that way. But if you lack, ask God. Let me just tell you what kind of God he is. He gives to all men, so that we know it includes you, liberally, and he won't scold you for asking. So there's no downside. There's only upside. What a great invitation. It shall be given him. But we have to approach God his way. We must accept his invitation, his way. And Proverbs 1:7 is an invitation. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you like to hike, sometimes you might be in the woods and the trails are hard to see. But if you have a map with where the trail starts, it's an invitation. Just go there and you'll find it. You don't have to look around and search and stumble and get lost. Just go here. And that's what this verse is. You want to get on the path to knowledge? Let me tell you where it begins. It begins with the fear of the Lord. And anyone can fear God. Fear God. It's a blessing to see the beginning of it. We might look at somebody and there are big names. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. There are recognizable names of men and women who have served God and done great things. They're in the Bible, they're in history, and we can look at somebody like that and say, "I could never be like that. How did I struggle with this? They didn't seem to struggle with anything." We can look at sort of the end of somebody, the peak of their life, and be discouraged because I'll never be like that. I'll never reach that. But God doesn't discourage us. He says, "Let me tell you the beginning. Let me tell you where it starts. This is the first step. Can you handle one step? Can you handle the first step? Just fear the Lord. It's the first step." And that's encouraging to me. Where will it lead? Good places, great places. It starts with the fear of the Lord. But it's an invitation because we have to decide whether or not we're going to fear the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12:13, also written by Solomon. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It's a blessing that even if you failed in doing both of those things, because we do fail that way, you can start again right now. One step. Can you handle one step? I think we can. Look at Psalm 111, and we're almost finished. Psalm 111, verse 10. Fear God. We ought to do this. We could spend a long time just talking about fearing God. But it means to lift him up, to see him as God. Whatever he says is important, that's what we think is important. Whatever he calls us to do, that's what we want to do. Whatever he thinks is right and says what is right and what we should stay away from, that's what we agree with that. Just because he said it. We want his approval. We want to obey him. Notice the progression in Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So it starts with the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. And then a good understanding comes when you do his commandments. Fear the Lord. That'll make you want to obey God's commandments. Starts with the fear of the Lord. First step, Psalm 112:1 says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. You won't want to obey God if you don't fear God. You won't delight in God's commandments if you don't fear him. Psalm 147:11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. If we deny God's existence and deity, our entire understanding of life will be out of context. We will lack the necessary framework for understanding anything of depth. And it's a very deep heart choice. We can say in our mind, oh yeah, I know God's out there, and yeah, he's God, yep. But our basic choices tell us, no, I'm God. When God and I disagree on something, I choose my side. When me and my spouse or me and my friend disagree on something, I choose my side because I'm God. That's not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord says, I'm going to go with what God says. And we still fail. Again, I'm not talking sinless perfection. But fearing the Lord says, I'm voting with the Lord. I'm with him every time. Whatever he says, that's what I believe. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want to get started? That's where it begins. And then the rest of the verse goes on. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, I'm not a fool. I don't despise that. But that's the flip side of fearing the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you don't fear the Lord, you are a fool that despises wisdom and instruction. We need to fear God, and we need to love truth. To despise means to look down upon with scorn. And you might look at a bug that way. I look down on it. I put my shoe on it. Let's kill it. Let's eradicate it. I despise bugs. I despise, you know, vermin and rodents and all. That's how fools look at wisdom and instruction. If you don't fear the Lord, that's what you're doing. It's a powerful opposite, and many proverbs have that. They show two opposing positions, and we learn a lot by comparing them and contrasting them and saying, well, if this is the opposite of that, what do we learn from both of these things? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools will never tell you that. Just listen to a fool. He'll tell you how smart he is, how wise he is. But if he doesn't fear the Lord, he is a fool that despises wisdom and instruction. I think we would all rather start down the path of knowledge. I'm thankful that God makes it simple for us. And this is why the heart choice is so important. We're talking about salvation. We talk about wisdom, growth in the Christian life. It comes down to your heart choice. If you fear the Lord, you bow before him and you say, Lord, there are a lot of things I don't know. A lot of things I mess up on, but I don't want to. I want to know. I want to know your word. I want to know you. I want to understand. I want to obey. That is my heart. As I fear you, I lift you up in my heart, put you on the throne where you belong. I fear you. Whatever you say, that's what goes. But I know I fall so far short of that. I fail so miserably, but I don't want to because I lift you up. So you do your work in me. I support that. I'm behind it. I'm cheering you on because you are God. That's the fear of the Lord. But so often we want to have the last say. We want to be able to approve God's plans in our life. And yeah, he's smarter than me, but I still get to decide yes or no if I'm going to go along with it. That's not the fear of the Lord. That's closer to being a fool who despises wisdom and instruction. It's not very complimentary to us. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. That's ultimately where it leads us. You don't fear the Lord. You despise wisdom and instruction. And the end of that path is, there is no God. Not all people will go to the end of that path, but that's where the path leads. It's one step after another. We despise wisdom and instruction because we are proud. No matter what channel God uses to bring wisdom and instruction to us, we ought to be thankful for it. It can be humbling when your child teaches you something. When that person who doesn't seem to know the first thing about anything, when they teach you something, that's humbling. But if we love truth, we'll accept it and we'll thank God for it. Psalm 19 talks about the many blessings of God's word, the commandments and the law. If we love it, we'll accept it in whatever form God gives it to us. However he teaches us the lessons, we'll thank him for it because he is God and we love him. We fear God and we love truth. That is God's invitation to us, how we'll begin down the path of knowledge and end up where Solomon and the Holy Spirit wants us to be. The book of Proverbs is powerful because it is God's wisdom. God's wisdom will transform your life, beginning with your thoughts. It will give you knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. It will help you make godly choices in all areas of life, and that is far more valuable than gold or silver. Proverbs talks about this a lot. It will bring you into closer fellowship with God, which is far more valuable than the praise of this world. Would you rather have God's praise or the world's praise? It shouldn't be a hard choice. And it will bring deep joy and contentment with God's plan for your life, which is far more valuable than the pleasures of this world. God uses his instruments to manifest his intentions for us so that we may become his instruments to others. God invites all to partake of his wisdom. That's the power of Proverbs. And we're going to deal with the following passages. But let's focus on fearing the Lord, to receiving his instruction. Let's not despise wisdom and instruction. Let's fear the Lord. That's the beginning of knowledge. Let's start down this path, stepping step by step, learning from the Lord so that we can not only see and receive and apply it and impart to others. Because there are a lot of people out there who need God's wisdom as well. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this open invitation.